Chair of Conference, colleagues and friends, I'm delighted to introduce this SDLP conference session on supporting people and fuel poverty. It's where I first became attracted to politics, serving people, helping those in greatest need. For we are at a time when there are many thousands of households in the north who are desperately in need of support. In all of the talk about the Eurozone and economic downturn, bankers and bailouts, it is easy to lose sight of the people who are really hurting, the people who are experiencing the greatest hardship right now with the prospect of more misery to come. And they are not bankers or rich businessmen or even politicians or journalists. They are primarily those already in the most vulnerable categories in our society, those who already need support. Indeed, many of those vulnerable households are currently in receipt of assistance of one kind or another. Many are living with illness, isolation, infirmity, exclusion, and all are locked into low and fixed incomes. And yes, there is a return to the poverty we thought we would never see again, with children going hungry. Increasingly, those who are working, even with two incomes coming in, are finding their take-home pay doesn't keep up with the bills and essential outgoings. There is the new phenomenon of middle-income poverty. And we will hear later about the scourge of fuel poverty, which is now afflicting almost half of all households in the north. And it's just so real. How can the very best manager of a family budget on a low fixed income, already struggling to make ends meet, be expected to find the extra hundreds of pounds now needed to get a fill of oil, or to plan for gas and electricity charges that have almost doubled in the last couple of years, while their household income has not increased by any more than 2 or 3%. And the UK's government's response to this crisis? They cut the winter fuel payment. Immoral and disgraceful. And then, on top of that, many of our disadvantaged households face the coming onslaught of Tory welfare reform, which, no matter what the government says, is a major money-saving exercise at the expense of those at the bottom. This draconian programme, which has been rolled out in Northern Ireland, will take more than £450 million out of the pockets and purses of our least well-off, as well as from the shops, where that money would be spent in purchasing the essentials of life. And let's get our heads around that figure of £450 million. It's more than twice the annual total housing budget in the north. It is equivalent to more than £1,000 taken out of each of the nearly 500,000 households now in fuel poverty here in this part of the world. And what does Prime Minister David Cameron tell us? He says we're all in it together, but that is another lie. None of the Cameron cabinet will struggle to pay their energy bills or their mortgages this winter. None of their children will be going to bed hungry. But it is one thing to blame the British government, and while they are substantially to blame, it is always a bit of a cop-out to blame London. What are we doing about it with our own devolved government? The truth is, SDLP apart, the devolved government here has done very little to support people. I honestly think that part of that reason is that the people at the top have lost touch. There was a time when the DUP and Sinn Féin leaders would have understood the hardship in working class communities, but not anymore. Our millionaire, First Minister Peter Robinson, surrounded by his barristers and his coterie of £90,000-a-year advisers, is too well insulated from the grinding hardship of citizens. And our globe-trotting Deputy First Minister, now back to what he regards as porridge, is too consumed with aspirations of living in a palace in Dublin to really care anymore. We've all heard of big house unionism. Did you ever think you would have big house republicanism? Jerry and Martin have, in every sense, gone south. Okay, so the DUP and Sinn Féin. Okay, so the DUP and Sinn Féin have not delivered. What then has the SDLP done as part of this executive to support those most in need? The answer, colleagues, is quite a lot. Although we only had one department, we did make a significant difference for those who needed help most. As Social Development Ministers, Alex Atwood and I, within really tightly financial constraints, built roughly double the number of social houses as were built in the years before. The current DUP minister, even with a friendly DUP finance minister, will take the new build number right back down to the pathetic low level it was at pre-SDLP. They could do so much better. The result of SDLP endeavours in housing is that there are thousands of needy families now living in decent accommodation who would otherwise be living in misery. And we certainly have made a difference to their lives. And along the way, we boosted employment in house building at a time when our construction industry was on its knees. And this is something, fellow delegates, this party and this party alone can be proud of. And it wasn't just housing. When it came to community funding, we've refocused resources so that emphasis was placed on the provision of much-needed services to disadvantaged communities rather than the funding of loud or well-connected groups. You might remember we ended, hopefully forever, the entire proposition of funding paramilitary groups from programmes intended for those in real need. And no one will tell me that the strong, uncompromising line this party adopted in this issue did not hasten the decommissioning of arms by the murderous UDA. We also have stood up for the poor and needy in nearly every other forum open to us. We stopped in its tracks at Executive an intended slush fund for favoured community groups and ensured there was proper governance around what is now called the Social Investment Fund. We will simply not allow others to dish public money out to their friends. And yet, fellow delegates, scandalously having annexed substantial money that could have gone to health, education, housing or fuel poverty to provide a budget for the Social Investment Fund, OFM, DFM are now handing back millions of Social Investment Fund money that they can't spend. And, fellow delegates, in recent times, there was one minister in our executive who went toe-to-toe with London on welfare reform, telling them we would not impose welfare reforms on needy households here that were designed for the southeast of England. And make no mistake, he was winning that argument on behalf of the people in receipt of a benefit in the north. That same minister took a stand against hiking up public sector pension contributions, and the recent compromise offered by David Cameron showed that Alex Atwood was right when he argued that the Northern Ireland Executive should not just roll over on this issue. And again, while others talked about it endlessly, it was Alex Atwood alone who actually introduces social clauses into public contracts, creating hundreds of employment opportunities for our young people. And it was he, single-handed at the Executive, who prevented the DUP from casting aside proper process and reinstating contracts to the failed East Belfast contractor, Red Sky. And to think... And to think, friends, some people questioned why I gave him the job. But the SDLP did not just demand more resources to support people, we showed where additional money could come from. While the DUP and Sinn Féin meekly waved through a budget with 4 billion of cutbacks, the SDLP produced the most comprehensive alternative economic paper ever seen from a Northern Ireland political party. And I challenge our candy floss media to go and look at it, and they will see that it's even more relevant a year later. They will see that it was not mischief-making, but a real, honest attempt to use devolution to stimulate our economy and mitigate the growing hardship facing our people. For that, fellow delegates, remains the key role for this party, this SDLP. If politics is not about nurturing and educating the young, maintaining the health, jobs and well-being of our citizens, supporting the vulnerable and providing security for people in their old age, then why would anyone be in politics at all? And so I would remind this conference that amid all the posters, the T-shirts, the frivolity and excitement of this weekend, the historic calling of the SDLP politics is that we engage in politics to make people's lives better. That and that alone. Before I hand over to Fergal to get the panel session underway, I want to tell you, colleagues, that it has been an honour to serve you as the leader of the SDLP, and I want to thank the very many people who have assisted me in that role. And I want to pledge my loyalty to whoever is elected as our new leader today, the very same loyalty that I give to those leaders who preceded me. And while I have a huge, and I must say, exciting agenda for South Down, I will be honoured to serve the party centrally in any role that is asked of me. This SDLP still has something very special to offer our communities and our nation. People continue to look for us and look to us for leadership and for solutions. I came into politics to serve and to support people. I found a special home for that in the SDLP. We are here for the right reasons. We are here to help people. And that is what I will always do. And that is what we do best. Thank you.
Well, on behalf of everybody, I want to thank